Well, it's good to have you guys here today. We're continuing in our stretch series. Great to have those of you at our house campuses, our house campus in Glencarbon and Granite City. Good to have you guys joining us. Well, a while back, I had the opportunity to hear a respected leader talk about the intangibles of leadership. Now, at one time or another, in one way or another, we're probably all going to find ourselves in situations where we need to lead something. I mean, it may be a business, a company, or an organization, something like that. It may be a team, maybe a team at work, maybe a team that your kids are on that you're coaching. It may be a group project at school or in some context, some environment. It may just be leading your friends to figure out what in the world they're going to do, what direction you're going to head as far as doing some things together. It may be something like leading your own kids. But we're typically all going to find ourselves needing to do that. And sometimes we lead with a formal title, but a lot of times leaders step up and lead informally just because somebody needs to provide some guidance. Somebody needs to provide some direction for this group or for this team. And there are the obvious things that leaders need to be able to do. They need to be able to assess a situation. And present a better way, a preferred future. They need to be able to communicate, to inspire. They need to be able to influence people, to cast vision. They need to be able to work with others. And we could go on and on about those things. But what this leader talked about went beyond those things. He talked about five intangibles of leadership. He said that high-capacity leaders need to have what he referred to as grit. I love that term, grit, which is the passion, the tenacity, the persistence, the determination to do whatever it takes to move something ahead. And they're willing to pour every drop of energy, of effort into getting this vision across the finish line. They play hurt, which is a great description of grit. The second intangible that he referred to was what he called self-awareness. They know themselves. They know, they understand, they're gut level honest with themselves about what their strengths are as well as what their weaknesses are. They know what their fears, their insecurities, as well as the baggage from their past is and how it's influencing their leadership decisions. And they strive to figure out and uncover what their blind spots are, which isn't exactly easy because they're blind spots, right? So we don't know what those are. And what that means is that you've got to be willing and want to invite people to speak into your life. You got to allow that. You got to want that. And then the third intangible of leadership was resourcefulness. They're quick learners, experimenters. They figure out how to make the most of limited resources. And then the fourth intangible was really interesting. It was self-sacrificing love. These are individuals that genuinely love and care about their team. And they're willing to make personal sacrifices for the good of the whole. And then the fifth intangible was that they create meaning. For every single person in the organization, they clarify, this is why we're doing what we're doing. And every so often, I will look back over those intangibles of leadership, and it's like, man, wow. I mean, that's the kind of person that I want to be. That's the kind of leader that I want to be. I want God to be able to use me. I want to be a person that's just continually growing and developing in my life. And interestingly, as you look at the life of Jesus, he modeled, I mean, Jesus fleshed out all five of these intangibles of leadership. But for me, as much as on the one hand I want that, on the other hand, there are times where in all honesty, I just want to push the easy button. And I find myself becoming more concerned about me than I am God and what he wants for me. More concerned about me than I am my wife or my kids or others or the vision that God has for our church. And I'll find myself, internally, I'm like, God, I know that you're doing, great things all over the world. God, I know that you're doing great things right here through our church. I just want to take it easy for a while. God, I just kind of want to coast. And I'll find myself becoming a little bit self-absorbed, concerned about my comfort and just my convenience. I think a lot of us at times kind of fall into that trap of just wanting to play it safe, to push the easy button, to take the path of least resistance. And so we live with kind of a tension internally. On the one hand, we want to make a difference, right? We want to do something big, something significant with our life. We want to leave the world a better place and do something that really makes a positive impact on people's lives around us. And yet, on the other hand, we're bombarded with all these just kind of fun things to do. There are, cruises and vacations, and there's boating and hunting and fishing and just going shopping and, remodeling this, remodeling that. And I'm not saying at all that we shouldn't have fun and that we shouldn't go on vacations and relax on those things. In fact, God himself says that we need to slow down. We need to rest. We need to relax. We need to take care of ourselves. We need to replenish and refocus our lives. It says, the Bible says, above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. We need to take care of ourselves. We need to take care of our heart, and we need to replenish. We need to recalibrate our life. We need to refocus our lives on what really matters. Take the time to do that. We need to refocus on God and what he has for our lives. But every so often, we'll go so far that we get all caught up in our own little world and our convenience, our comfort, that we kind of leave God out of the picture. We leave him out of the equation, and the result is that we never end up getting around to living out the dream that God has for our lives. We short-circuit God's plan for our life because we're all caught up in ourselves. We're all caught up in our own little world. What I want you to know is that God wants to do more in and through your life than you can even begin to imagine. He really does. And there are some of you here that probably, even as you hear that kind of a statement, that your internal, your gut level, immediate just kind of reaction to that is, not me. God can't use somebody like me. You just don't know. You don't understand. You don't understand where I've been. And you might say, I'm grateful to be able to be here. I'm grateful for God's love and his forgiveness and all that. But you don't understand. God can't use somebody like me. If you knew the path, if you knew where I've been in my life. But the reality is, God specializes in taking scarred, imperfect, fragmented people with all different levels of talent and ability and skills in life and using them to do amazing, God-glorifying things. So whoever you are, you may be here, and you may not even be sure that you believe in this God. You may be just kind of checking things out, but I want you to know that God can and God wants to do big, big things in and through your life. Now, last week, as we started this out, I said that what I want to do in this series is I want to stretch our minds. I want to stretch our thinking as to who God is, as to who we can be, and as to what God is doing in the world. And last week, we said that anyone, we looked at Ephesians 3, and we said that anyone and everyone can experience all of God. Anyone and everyone, all of us have total, full access to God and all that he has to offer. And we looked at a prayer the Apostle Paul prayed for people that they might be able to experience, that we might experience God's power in order to grasp the enormity of God's love. And we said that when we the more fully we grasp and the more fully we immerse ourselves in his love, the more complete and whole that we're going to be. And what I want to do is I want to follow up on that this week, because he finishes out, we didn't look at the whole prayer. He finishes that prayer with a very powerful and very thought-provoking statement. And that's what I want to look at today, just two verses. So if you have your Bible, if you would open it to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. We're going to have verse 20 and 21. Look at what it says. Paul says, and this is the final part of this prayer. Paul says, now to him, talking about God, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen. Now, the overarching truth, the overarching reality that we need to grab hold of right here is that everything we do, everything that we're about, everything that we are a part of should be done in such a way that it will bring glory to God. Okay, everything we do should be done to bring glory to God. But within that context, there are three principles that we see in this passage of scripture that we really need to live continually reminding ourselves of. I mean, just on an ongoing basis, we need to remind ourselves of these three principles. Number one, the first principle that we need to remind ourselves of that we see reflected in this scripture is that with God, all things are possible. And we just need to remind ourselves of that. With God, all things are possible. Everything is possible with him. He can do more than we can even imagine, is what it says. Look at the verse again. It says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine according to his power that is at work within us. What God can do, it's getting at, can't even be measured. It just can't. God's ability defies being quantified. Okay, it defies being measured. Over and over, we're told in Scripture that nothing is impossible with God. I mean, whatever it is that we can conjure up in our minds and we can ask for, God can do more. Whatever we can imagine, God can do more. I don't know about you, but I can dream up some pretty big things. But God can do even more. God's abilities are limitless. There are no boundaries. There are no guardrails, if you will, to God's love. When our kids were growing up, and they were really young, there were times where they were going to bed, and I'd walk into the room, and we'd do bedtime stories and all this kind of stuff, and pray with them and stuff. One of the things I would ask them at times, their dad, do you know how much I love you? And they'd kind of hum, I don't know, and I'd go, man, I love you this much, and more, and more, and more, and more. And I'd do that regularly, and eventually it got to the point with each of them where I would be in there talking, and I said, you know how much I love you? And they're, oh, I know, Dad, you know me this much and more, and I said, yeah, I do. I love you this much and more and more and more. And you know what? God loves you this much and more and more. And what I want you to know today is that God is so big and he can do so much that he loves you. Whatever has gone on in your life, he loves you this much and more and more and more. And what I want you to understand is that God can do this much and more and more and more and more in your life. God can do more and bigger and better than you can even imagine. And that's how big God is. Now, he can do more than we can even imagine, but we need to understand he doesn't always do the more that we want him to do. And he certainly doesn't always do it when we want him to do it. You see, sometimes in our life, we dream up these things, or we pray, we ask for things, and sometimes God says no. Sometimes he says no. He says that isn't really what would be healthiest for you. If you were to get that, sometimes we are so convinced that something would be good for us and this is a time for it. And God's like, no, in the long term, in the long run. That's not really what's best for you. So my answer is no. Sometimes God says grow. He's not saying no. He's just saying, I need to develop you. You need to develop. You need to grow. You need to mature some in your life. We need to chip away at some of the rough edges in your life. We need to get rid of some of that self-reliance that you've got where you think it's all about you. We need to get rid of some of that ego in your life. And so he says, you need to grow. And then there are times where God says, slow. He's going to do it, but he's going, it's not the right time right now. And we have a hard time with that because we want it now. We want it yesterday. And we think we know the time, but we don't understand all the things that are working, all the different ways in which God is working and intertwining things in the world. He's working in this person's life and this and in the circumstance. He's preparing all these things at times for what he's wanting to do and what is best for you, for me. And so at times he says no. At times he says grow. At times he says slow down. It's not the right time. And then there are times where he says go. He says, man, go for it. The answer is yes. I want that for your life. Now, most of you are probably aware, if you've been around here for a while, that a few years back, about 7 years ago, my wife went through brain surgery. And she had had, she'd been struggling with health issues for 13 years. She woke up one day and started having numbness and just she's extreme pain and exhaustion. That just progressively over those 13 years just kept getting worse and more frequent bouts with that. And doctors couldn't figure out what it was. And we prayed that God would heal her. And the doctors would get direction and stuff and nothing happened. In that regard. And it was a challenging time. Finally, we went to Mayo Clinic, and a doctor there said they found what they thought it was, and he said that he thought he could do surgery and that it would stop the frequency from progressing because it had been continually progressing and becoming more frequent, and it would reverse some of the symptoms, not all of the symptoms, maybe as much as 50% of the symptoms. And all of a sudden, we've got a tough decision. Do we do the surgery? It wasn't an absolute deal. And obviously, brain surgery is a pretty dicey thing. And so we're praying. And we've been praying. We're praying like crazy. And we're very aware that that God can heal in multiple ways, especially one of three ways for sure, that sometimes God can just heal immediately just on his own without any other intervention at all. And at times he does that. Man, we were praying for that. At times God heals through medical professionals, so we were praying, God, you know, that'll work. We're good with that as well. And sometimes God heals by taking us home to be with him, where there's perfect healing, and we live with glorified bodies in his presence, where there's no sickness nor pain or whatever. And what we were praying for is healing. We wanted God to be glorified. And I was definitely leaning towards the first of those options. He would just be healed and not have to go through surgery. In fact, we had people joining us, and we were praying that even before she went into surgery, that they would find that everything was gone, that it was all good. But the day came, and they did the final MRIs and stuff, and it was still there. And she went into surgery, and she came out, and God did heal her in her life. And it wasn't just the instant deal. He used medical professions, but it wasn't just the 50% reversal of symptoms and stopping the progression. The progression, it just totally stopped, and it reversed all of her symptoms. And we feel like, though, as we look back, that God didn't do that in our timing for sure. And there's a lot of growing that each of us did in our own lives. But we feel like God was glorified through that. But what we need to realize is that when we pray, and even when God doesn't answer the prayers the way that we want him to and the timing that we want, or they don't get answered at all the way that we'd hope, we need to keep reminding ourselves that God is still in control. And we need to keep reminding ourselves that God is still a big God who can do the impossible. And we need to keep stepping out in faith, trusting him to do big things. Now, some of the big things that he wants to do in us. He wants to do in our own life, in our character, in our attitude, in how we treat the people around us. But typically what we want is we want God to do something big out there in them or in the circumstances around us. But I think a lot of times God is just as concerned, if not more concerned, about doing something big in us, doing something big in me. Am I becoming more loving? Am I becoming more caring? Am I becoming more patient? Am I in my life and how I treat people, am I becoming kinder? Am I becoming more generous? Am I becoming less self-absorbed and selfish and self-centered? Am I dealing with my fears and insecurities and the baggage from my past in a better, in a healthier way? God wants to do big, life-transforming things in us and through us in our lives. So we need to live with that ongoing awareness, remind yourself that with God, all things are possible. But if that's the case, if God can do all things, then what should your response be? You can write this down. Your response should be, don't limit what God can do in and through your life. Don't put limits. Oh, God can't do that. God can't use it. Don't put limits on what God can do in and what God can do through your life. Number two, the second principle we see in this passage of Scripture that we need to remind ourselves of on an ongoing, continual basis, number two, is we need to remind ourselves that God's power is what brings about the results. It's God's power that brings about the results. One plus God equals a majority. Every time. Look back at verse 20 there. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. You see, God tends to work through people. He tends to work through us. He doesn't have to, but he tends to work through people. But it's not our power. Okay? It's not our brilliance, it's not our intelligence, it's not our IQ or our EQ or how much we have, it's not our ingenuity, it's not how great our communication skills are or how great our organizational skills are. I mean, God uses those things. God is the one who gives us the talents and the abilities and the strengths that we have. He gives us the mind that we have to make money, to be able to accumulate possessions and toys and all those things that we have. But anything of real, lasting, eternal value is a result of God working in and through our lives. We need to live with that realization. God's power is what brings about the results. Shortly after we started the church, I remember having people every so often, they would come up to me and they would ask me, do you really think that this church can ever like really grow to be, you know, like more than 200, maybe 300 people? And I was like, yeah. yes, I do. Not because of me, not because of my abilities or talents or anything, but because we have a big God who specializes in doing big things. He can do more than we can even imagine. And we grew beyond that. And we grew beyond 500 and 800 and 1,000. And I would have people, did you ever think that you would reach this size, you would go beyond 800, you would go beyond 1,000? And my answer was yes. Yes, I did. I believed that we would. Because God cares about people. God loves people, and he wants to reconcile people to himself. And that's what we're about, is we're helping people who are far from God connect with God. We're joining God in his dream and what he's doing. And I don't think I have the ability. I know I don't have the capability to do that. I don't think all of us together, but somehow God works in and through us, very imperfect people. And I believed, and I believe to this day, that God has still way more that he wants to do in and through this church, through us. Together, not because we're all that, but because he is all that. Woo, what a God. I think he wants to do so much more right here. I think he wants to do so much more on our Vandalia camps, surrounding areas. I think he has so much more he wants to do through our house campuses, through the campuses, the new churches that we're going to be starting in the near future. There is so much more that God can do in and through our lives as we make ourselves available to him, but it's his power working in us. what he does. I mean, it doesn't surprise me what he's done here. What probably surprises me more, in all honesty, is what he's done in me in all of this process. The changes, the growth, the development that he's brought about in my life. He keeps helping me see blind spots in my life. Keeps chipping away at rough edges in my life so that I can be the person that he wants me to be. So that I can be the husband, the father, the friend, the pastor that he wants me to do. But God specializes in doing those kinds of things. So we need to constantly be reminding ourselves that God can do more. God can do way more than we ask or even imagine. He can do more in us. He can do more in our marriages. He can do more in our families. He can do more in our relationships. He can help us deal with stress and pressure and the anxieties that we struggle with in our life. He can help us break free from unhealthy patterns and habits that we fall into. But a lot of us, what's interesting is, even as Christians, we keep trying to call the shots in our life. We keep trying to do things a lot of times in our own strength, thinking it's us. It's going to do it. It's God's power through us that brings about the results. Look at what Jesus said. John 15, verse 5. You don't need to look this up. We're going to throw it up on the screen. Jesus said, I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain, and that word remain means to abide, to stay glued in. So if you remain in me and I in you, so if you live your life plugged in to Jesus, he says, you will bear much fruit. And then look at this. Apart from me, Jesus said, you can do nothing. Jesus is the source of life. He is the source, the lifeblood of power and inner strength. So if we are disconnected from Jesus, we're going to be like branches, it says right here. They're being cut off, severed from a tree. They're just going to kind of shrivel up and die. But we're not going to produce anything of significance. It's kind of like, it would be like being a car without an engine. It would be like being a washing machine without being plugged into the source of power, the power source. Apart from Jesus, disconnected from Jesus, what he's getting at here is that nothing we do is really going to matter for the long haul. So what should, if the results are results of God's power, what should our response be? Your response should be, tap in to the power of God. Don't rely on yourself. Tap in, lean into God, tap in to the power of God. And then number three, and most importantly, the third principle that we need to remind ourselves of on an ongoing basis in our life, number three is we need to remind ourselves that all we do needs to be done for God's glory. All that we do, everything we do in our life needs to be done for God's glory, not for our own glory, not for our company's glory, not even for our family's glory, but for God's glory. Look at the verses again. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that has worked within us. And then look at this, verse 21, to him be glory. To God be glory in the church. And when it's talking about church, it's not talking about a building where the church meets. The church is people, God's people, Christians, people who claim to be followers of Christ. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, including this generation, throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Now, the reality is we don't use that word glory and glorify or glorifying that much in our day-to-day conversations in our culture these days. I mean, we do some, but not a lot. I mean, we will use it to say things like that movie glorified teen pregnancy, you know, let's say, or that movie glorified drug use. Or UFC fighting glorifies violence, or football glorifies violence, or we'll say, you know, that song glorified immorality or promiscuity. But when we make those kind of comments, those kind of statements, what are we saying? What we're saying is that movie or that song made that thing, it made it look good. That movie, it promoted that. What if we lived our lives that way? What if we lived our lives glorifying God? What if we lived our lives making God look good? What if we lived our lives promoting God? What if we lived our lives making a big deal of God? See, whether you ever realize it or not, our primary purpose in life is to bring glory to God, to praise Him, to reverence Him, to make Him famous, to elevate Him above all else, to magnify Him, to give thanks to Him. We need to live our lives loving and honoring and glorifying God, promoting God, helping others to see how great He is, ascribing worth to Him. So if everything is possible for God, if He can do more than we can even imagine, what are we attempting for God? What are we doing in our lives to bring glory? What are we doing to bring glory? What are you doing in your life to bring glory to God? Let me ask you, what's the biggest thing that you're doing? Not for yourself, okay? Not for your own success, not for you to look good and you get accolades and affirmation from others, but what are you doing to make God famous? What are you doing to make Him famous, to lead people to say, what are you doing to lead people to say, wow, what a God. What a God you serve. What a great, great God. Now, think about it like this. When we even say that, when we talk about big dreams and God being able to do more than we can imagine, we start thinking of big dreams. But what if some of the big dreams that we have, some of the things that we think are big deals, what if they're really little things to God? And what if some of the things that we think are little things, little dreams, are actually big things, big dreams to God? Because you see, sometimes we become real infatuated with these new things. We're like, oh, if I'm going to do something big for God, I need to start a new company, or I need to start a new ministry. I need to do some new thing. And we'll pray, God, you know, I'm going to do this, and God, if you'll bless me, if you'll bless my efforts, God, I'll tithe. God, I'll help the church out. God, I'll help the poor out. And that's, you know, that's good. But what if the big dream, what if the big thing that God wants to do, what if maybe what He's wanting to do is something in our life that we think of as kind of a little thing, but is really a big thing? Maybe the big thing, maybe the big dream that God wants to live out in your life, it's for you to build a strong marriage, or to invest more time and energy in your kids' spiritual lives, or forgiving that cantankerous neighbor or coworker. So, let me ask you, what are you doing to fully and completely, what are you doing fully and completely for God's glory? Where God getting the glory isn't just an afterthought or a tag on to your own success. What are you doing? Where giving glory to God is the passion and the driving force of what you're doing. Where are you joining God in what He's doing? Not your own little thing. You're just joining Him and what He's about and what He's doing to bring glory to Him, to make Him famous. Everything that we do should bring glory to God. We exist to bring glory to God. Everything we do should point people toward the greatness of God. So if that's the case, what should our response be? Your response should be to live all out for the glory of God. Live your life all out. And that's my challenge for every one of us here, for me, for you. Let's live our lives all out for God's glory, for the glory of God. All out. And what are you actively, consciously doing to bring glory to God. Everything we do should be done to bring glory to God. If you're married, is your marriage bringing glory to God? Is your marriage pointing to the greatness of God? Through your marriage, are you promoting God? Are you making God look good? Are you, through your marriage, making a big deal of God? Or are you kind of living your life, I mean, you're trying to build a strong, healthy marriage, but it's really just for you. I mean, maybe so you can have amazing sex life or whatever. And that's good. I mean, that's fine. But what if, as Christians, we built marriages that were healthy and strong for the glory of God? What if we built marriages that were so strong, so healthy, that were characterized by such love and such respect and such encouragement and support and honoring of each other, that those who are outside of the faith looked at our marriages and said, wow, if that's a Christian marriage, I want God in my life. I want God in my marriage. God can do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. What are you doing at work or in your school to bring glory to God? And some of you may go, well, you know, I don't work in a Christian company, you know. I don't go to a Christian school. I know that. I understand the vast majority, there aren't any of you here that are in that situation. But what are you doing in your lifestyle so people are able to see God, so that your lifestyle, how you're living, is bringing glory to God in your work, in just your work effort, the excellence with which you work? Is that bringing glory to God? And how you treat the people at work, is that bringing glory to God? Is it really? How are you involved in helping influence the culture at school or the culture at work so that it becomes a company, an organization that is more sensitive and more caring about people? When you're on a team and there's tension that's rising and people are getting angry and upset and tempers may even be flaring, do you add fuel to the fire? Do you stir the pot? Or are you known as someone that listens and respects others, that you're a peacemaker, that you pour water on the fire, that you de-escalate things, and you're just known for being that person? What are you doing to encourage your company, your organization, your school, to develop policies that would be more caring about people, that might help people who in the organization who are going through extreme medical situations? It might provide scholarships to them, or scholarships to individuals who are trying to get ahead in their life, but they had a very rough upbringing, and they're trying to better themselves, and maybe the organization could provide scholarships for some of those kind of individuals. What are you doing to help out in those situations to encourage that to take place? God can do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. What are you doing in your relationships? Just your day-to-day relationships to bring glory to God in how you treat the people around you. What are you doing to love and honor and bring fame to God? How are you doing at loving the people around you who are difficult to love? I mean, it's easy to love some people. How are you doing at loving the difficult people? How are you doing in the forgiveness department? Are you glorifying God in how you use social media? I am shocked and stunned at how judgmental, arrogant, condescending, and just flat out rude Christians are so many times on social media. It's an embarrassment. It must sadden the heart of God. It's certainly not glorifying to Him. What if we were to use social media, whatever the outlet, as a platform to bring glory to God? So people saw how we responded in those environments, the posts that we make. They said, wow. And they are so humble and so non-judgmental, so open to hear, so respectful of other individuals. What they say is so thought-provoking. I don't know that I believe everything they're saying, but I would like to be as respectful as they are. Maybe there's something to this God. God can do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. Whatever it is that we do should be done for the glory of God. We need to stretch our minds. We need to stretch our thinking. Dream big. Don't limit God. Dream big, bold prayers and dream big, bold dreams to bring glory to God, not for our own glory, but for God's glory. Maybe some of the big dreams that God has for your life, the reality is they're not in the big areas that you've been thinking about. Maybe some of the big dreams that God has for you in your life are in those day-to-day areas. Maybe in how you interact with your family, with your spouse. Maybe he wants to do something in how you interact with brothers, with sisters, with parents, with teachers, with coworkers, with a boss of yours, just those day-to-day interactions. And what he's wanting to do is big in those areas. And before he opens the door to some grandiose something dream out there, what he wants you to be a part of is the big dream for he has for you in those day-to-day areas of life. He can do. God can do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. We're gonna wrap up here in just a minute, but what if we aligned everything we are, everything we do, everything we're a part of, everything that we pursue with loving and honoring and glorifying and making God famous? Let me ask you, where do you see God at work? Join God in what he's doing. We talk about God doing beyond our wildest dreams. The biggest dream there is what God is doing. There is no dream bigger than what God is doing in the world. Join God in what he's doing. Now, what if as Christians, we began to work together, loving each other, supporting each other, encouraging each other, teaming up together to do things, to bring glory to God. Maybe God would lead several of you, two or three of you, to join together to coach a team for the glory of God, to bring glory to God. Maybe it's being a part of kids' Bible camp in order to help families, to help other kids come to Jesus, to connect with him. Maybe it's helping one of the partnerships that we have in East St. Louis to make a difference, bring glory to God in that area. Maybe it's helping build a house for a family in need through a partnership with Habitat for Humanity. Or maybe it's being a part of one of the campuses that we're going to be starting up. If we were to come together, and if Christians were to begin to live passionately, selflessly, with grit, with determination, demonstrating self-sacrificing love, I think there could be, at the start of a sweeping movement of God, where people who are far from God would be drawn to him, would connect with him and begin to experience his love and his forgiveness and the joy and the inner peace that he offered, that he offers. Don't let glorifying God just be a tag on to everything else. Yeah, I'm doing this, and yeah, I'm going to glorify God some with it. Make glorifying God the focus, the driving passion of your life. Would you bow your heads with me? Heavenly Father, my prayer is just simple, simple prayer. God, that every single one of us who are here today, who call ourselves Christians, who would say that we are followers of Jesus, God, my prayer is that we would live our lives focused on passionately bringing glory to you in every area of our lives. And God, as we do, I pray that you would do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine in us, God, and through us. If you're here today and you're kind of checking the God thing, the Jesus thing out, you need to understand you'll never find the wholeness that you are looking for in life until you begin to live not for your own glory, not just for your own pleasure, your own comfort, your own dreams, and your own passions, but until you begin to pursue and live your life for Jesus. God loves you. He wants to forgive you. He wants to give you a new life of meaning and purpose. In your heart, why don't you pray and say, God, I want you in my life. God, I don't want to just live my life for myself, for my own purposes, my own pleasure, my own comfort. God, I know the emptiness of living a self-absorbed life. And I want you to be the Savior, the forgiver of my life. I want to follow Jesus. I want to be a part of your big dream. I want to bring glory to you. And my prayer is that you would do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine in and through us in our individual lives and in and through us as a church. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.